Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sports Illustrated's NBA show, breaking down the latest news, rumors, and everything in between. Here's your host, Chris Mannix and Rohan Nadkarni.
And we are back. Crossover NBA podcast. Chris Mannix joined this week by Rohan Nadkarni. I am coming to you from rainy San Antonio, Texas. Rohan, are you still in New York? You become an East Coast guy these days. I don't really understand that.
I'm trying to move like my mentor and idol, Chris Mannix. Just, you never know which city I'm going to be in. I am in New York and was fortunate enough to hang out with some of our colleagues, past and present, yesterday, including Howard Beck, Michael Pina, Chris Herring. Michael Pina, by the way, still feeling the stinging effects of his awards column that he posted for The Ringer, by the way. Let me just put it that way.
Ah, doesn't like the backlash?
I don't think he was prepared for the level of backlash. Unlike you, who knows what they're doing when they stoke the flames, I don't think that was Pina's goal there.
Oh, I am fueled by your tears. Trust me, I am fueled by your tears. All right. On this episode, I want to talk a little bit about what Mark Cuban had to say this week about the future of the Dallas Mavericks. Zion Williamson, not an encouraging update from the Pelicans with respect to Zion Williamson. In fact, that update, I put on Twitter, Rohan, that update probably goes in the non-update Hall of Fame.
Yes, I was going to say, calling it an update is giving it too much credit for what it was, which was a series of words.
Yes, that was a series of words that they felt obligated to put into a press release that amounted to absolutely nothing. So we're going to get to that and maybe a little about Zion's future. But first, the big game this week was between the Clippers and the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Clippers won that game. Clippers without Paul George, but were off for like a week before that game started. Yeah. Lakers, it was officially the last game of a road trip. They're coming off an overtime win over Utah. Clippers controlled that game largely from start to finish. Lakers made a bit of a run in the third quarter, but Norman Powell and the Clippers beat them back in the second half. I have seen a lot of reaction on television, on social media, from talking heads, many of which I respect, that have used this loss as kind of a death knell on the Lakers' season. Like, it's now the Clippers that the LA fan base should get behind. The Clippers are the LA team that has the best chance of succeeding in the playoffs. I feel like that's an overreaction. I mean, that was not a good game. by LA. I give Anthony Davis credit for playing in a back-to-back for the first time since his major injury coming back from it. LeBron James, he played 40-plus minutes against the Jazz. He pushed through despite his problems, played in that game. They didn't have it. They didn't have it. And the Clippers, they got it from Kawhi Leonard. They got it from Norman Powell. They got it from Russell Westbrook. They got it from Zubac. Like, they got it from everybody in that game. So, you know, I think you can give the Clippers some flowers there without burying the Lakers in the process. What was kind of your takeaway from that game?
Yeah, I mean, I will say LeBron alluded to it after the game, and he's not wrong. That was a tough scheduling break for the Lakers to come back and have that be the second night of a back-to-back, coming back from Utah late after an overtime game. That's a difficult one, and people will get on LeBron for saying it's one of those schedule losses, but he's not wrong. That was a tough break for the Lakers. I mean, I do think in general I'm probably higher on the Clippers than the Lakers. If you want to take out that game, and the Clippers entering that game had beaten the Lakers 10 times in a row. The last time the Lakers have beaten the Clippers was in the bubble, I believe. If you remember that game, LeBron gets the stop on Kawhi Leonard late. You know, if you just compare the rosters, as much as the Lakers have a normal one now, I still think the Clippers have a lot more depth. I think you could say the Clippers have a coaching advantage. You know, Ty Lue's kind of made earned praise in his career, specifically for what he's been able to do in the playoffs. And Ty Lue's had that team successful before, even without Kawhi Leonard. You know, they made their first conference finals in franchise history without Kawhi Leonard, coming back against that Utah team in the second round. And they really pushed that Suns team in the conference finals too. The Suns ended up making the finals that year. You remember they had the Valley Oop game where DeAndre Ayton, you know, the Clippers had a very good chance to win that series. So I don't look at it as just that one game. I'm with you. I think people are kind of overreacting to that one game. But really, Mannix, to me, it's like, I know you're high on the Lakers, and as much kind of, you know, I make fun of you for it, I'm with you. I think it's a wide open West and they have a good chance. My issue is, it's going to be such an uphill climb for them. You know, they're back in the play-in after this loss. I think they're probably going to end up in the play-in. Like, if they get Memphis in round one, even if they do win that series, it's just going to be such an arduous path for them. Now, granted, the Clippers, are they going to get the Kings or the Suns? There's a huge difference there in terms of finishing five or six. But, I mean, if I had to bet on it, I think I'm going the Clippers.
Look, I'm on record. I think the Lakers are still the better team. Look, the Lakers won. Again, this was a road game officially. So the Lakers finished that road trip 4-1. Like, that's a pretty damn good road trip. They beat Chicago on the front end of it. They get a win over Minnesota when Minnesota was playing better, had something to play for. So I'm going to look at more the positive from this recent trip than the negative. The question about seeding is a fair one. Right now, the Lakers are a game behind the Warriors for that number six seed. If they go 2-0 over these final two games and the Warriors split the next two, they can get up to the number six seed. The Lakers have Phoenix. I don't know who Phoenix is going to play on Friday. You know, they have nothing to play for at this point. The Jazz, Jazz aren't going to try to win that game against the Lakers. They almost beat them anyway, but I think, not to go too far back into history, but that meltdown by the Lakers on Tuesday night was almost biblical. Like, being up 10 points with a minute and a half to play against Utah and then choking that away was ridiculous. But I don't know who Phoenix is going to roll out there. The game that I'm most interested in, actually, is tonight, where the Clippers are playing Sacramento. Sacramento is locked into that number three seed. Sacramento can kind of influence this a little bit with the way they play. And I think the question the Kings almost have to ask themselves is, do we want to play the Warriors or do we want to play the Lakers? Because if they kind of fumble this game away, that effectively gives Golden State at least the sixth seed. If they win it, and Golden State, by the way, has Portland on Sunday, so they're going to win that game too. If they win this game, it opens the door for the Lakers to take that sixth seed, and maybe they prefer that matchup? I don't know. I don't know. There's obviously some jockeying there for five, yeah. But
I have to imagine a team like Sacramento is probably a little bit more scared. So sorry, you meant the Clippers. I think you meant to say the Warriors. The Warriors, Kings.
Warriors, Kings. Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yes. That's an interesting question. I'd have to think that they'd more likely want to play the Lakers than the Warriors. But that means, I mean, the Warriors are also incentivized to win this game. But this is the problem with the jockeying right now, is the Clippers and the Warriors have the same record. So the Warriors want to stay ahead of the Lakers, which means they need to win. But they also want to stay behind the Clippers, which means they want to lose. Like, I don't know that any team in the West is going to be able to get away with jockeying for position because it's too bunched up. It's just, I don't know that it's going to work out for anyone. I don't know that there's a way to kind of rig the system like that because of how close everything is.
It would be difficult, but
I would
say this. I believe, and there's a lot of machinations here, but I believe that if the Kings win tonight, it gives the Lakers a chance, right? At least it opens the door for the Lakers to move up in the standings. If they lose, because Portland is sitting there for Golden State on Sunday, then there's no chance of it probably almost cements the Lakers as the number 7 seed, which, by the way, it's not a great position to be in because you do have to play on the 11th or 12th or whatever it is mm-hmm. that their play-in game would be. And theoretically, if you lose that first play-in game, you have to fight for your life in the second one. It could drop to the 8th seed. But I'm not as convinced as you as that the Grizzlies are, you know, the team the Lakers want to avoid in the first round. The Grizzlies... They've had a mess of their own, and they're going to go into that series without Brandon Clark. They haven't proven yet, statistically, that they are the kind of team, that being a half-court one, that can succeed in the playoffs. So
I still think it would still be a tough physical series. Like, it wouldn't be like a, oh, we're going to smoke this team 4-1 type situation. Like, the Lakers need all the low-stakes games that they can get, you know, first-round games included. Like, That's the start of a long climb if they get Memphis. Like I said, like even if they do beat them, I think that's the kind of series that takes a physical and mental toll in a way that a lot of LeBron James's first round series have not taken his career. I want to throw a completely off the wall question at you. This is just based on some conversations I've had with people, and this is like a random connection of dots. Do you think there's any chance Ty Lue's job is in danger? Like if they get bounced early in the playoffs?
If they get bounced early in the playoffs, I think more likely than not, the front office is in danger first because Steve Ballmer's invested a lot of money in this team and continues to reinvest in this team, paying luxury tax penalties that are significant. And Ballmer can afford it. The guy's worth like 20-something billion dollars or whatever it is. But if you're investing that kind of cash, you want to see a return for your investment. And this is that year that even if they get beat in the first round without Paul George, it could lead to some changes. That's not something that I'm reporting necessarily, but you know, that's the sense around the league from people I talk to, that this is an important year for the Clippers to do something.
I mean, I said before the year, I think it would be a failure if they didn't at least make the finals. I mean, and this is Kawhi's healthy. I mean, they may not have Paul George, but we don't.
And they're deep. Like, I still don't know if I trust Westbrook in the playoffs. He played excellent in the first half of that game against the Lakers. Norman Powell is a good player. Zubac is a good player.
Don't you think this
Marcus Morris is going to be back? He's a good player.
Yeah. Isn't this Westbrook's success kind of a double-edged sword? Like, he's been fantastic, and every good game he has makes me more nervous for the playoffs.
Yeah, especially. You know, look, he made 2 3-pointers early in that game against the Lakers, and you start to think, like, oh, God, is he going to...
yeah, take 10 of these? Yeah.
Yeah, that concerned me. That concerned me.
Kawhi's been every bit as good as Kawhi Leonard, if you know what I mean. Like, I feel like one part of this discussion that we haven't talked about, you know, Lakers versus Clippers, I think Kawhi, at their best this season, I think Kawhi's been better than LeBron.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I think he's, well, I mean, yeah, he's been right up there with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just looking at some of the potential scenarios here. And it does give me a headache at this point.
Yeah.
But the Clippers, I mean, the Warriors, where they want to be is six. Yes. And that's pretty, I think it's pretty safe to say. If they go 2-0 and the Clippers lose once, the Warriors will be the fifth seed. That is something I think they're going to have to keep their eye on, because it's not one of those scenarios where you want to set things up for the way the playoffs will play out. For the Clippers, because it's more likely than not that Paul George isn't going to play in that first round series, you want the easiest series you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then you're not afraid of anybody. Once Paul George comes back, you're not afraid of anybody. But I'd be a little leery if I was the Clippers about, you know, maybe not with this game on Friday, but on Sunday, could we see, you know, the Clippers go into a full tank if there's a possibility they could get the Suns in the first round? Because the Clippers, they've got Portland, who, you know, again, not playing for anything. That game's on Saturday. Then on Sunday, they get to play at Phoenix, and I don't think Phoenix is going to play anybody in that game. So I think Sunday's going to be really interesting. Everyone's gunning for Sacramento. Everyone's gunning for Sacramento in that situation.
I, as much as I would hate to see one of these teams lose in the first round, I just really want to see that Suns-Warriors first-round series.
Yeah, Suns-Warriors. I don't know if we're going to get it. I'd like to see Lakers-Kings in a kind of reignited rivalry from 20 years ago. Let that be the first home game the Kings play in whatever, 16, 17
Lakers
years.
Fans, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that'd be a compelling one. But either way, this weekend's going to be fascinating to see if there's any jockeying that teams try to do to avoid Phoenix in that first round. All right, let's move on to Dallas, which is still, as we record this, mathematically alive for a spot in the play-in. They beat the Kings the other night. Great. Kyrie played brilliantly. But I do want to talk about the things that Mark Cuban had to say before the game. Mark Cuban, he just has a tendency these days of saying some wild things. Things that often are just not based in reality. Like, he has denied some things over the years that have turned out to be absolutely true, especially when it's been people been writing about the inner workings of his organization. Mm-hmm. And he was out there the other day talking about how they really didn't have the opportunities people said they did to re-sign Jalen Brunson last year. I saw Bobby Marks quickly come out and point out that, yeah, they did a couple of times. They could have re-signed Brunson at a number he would have accepted. And then, you know, he's talking about giving Kyrie max money. He doesn't, or paying Kyrie whatever it takes, and not commenting on Christian Wood. Just, you saw and watched some of that presser. Like, what was your reaction to it?
There was a time when this kind of stuff from Mark Cuban was so refreshing, and okay, we got an owner who shoots from the hip and will give kind of these impromptu press availabilities. The problem is, I would never say someone's become too open, but as you said, it's the way he will sometimes just contradict reporting that too many people know to be solid and or true, is when you're just like, who is he doing this for? Is he doing this for the fans? Is he doing this for himself? Like, we all know the situation here. Like, that Brunson thing, the Brunson thing is true because well before free agency, people were talking about him turning down, or the Mavs not offering that money or not wanting to sign him to that extension. Like, this was a conversation happening well before he joined the Knicks about, are they going to extend him? Are they going to give him this offer? You know, he's blaming Jalen Brunson's dad. He's like, once family gets involved. I think to an extent they're obviously very frustrated about how the season is going. The Brunson thing is just a very easy situation to point to. Like, you let this all-star player walk. He's having the best year of his career. This team's going into the lottery. It's just very easy to point to that. But yeah, I don't think the wheels are coming off or something like that, but it just makes me nervous about the direction of the franchise that this is all playing out so publicly, and it's like, just get it together. Like, get a grip. You guys got one of the a top five talent in the league, a player with the potential to be maybe the best player in the world. Like, you need to get a grip, and you need to do it quickly.
Yeah, and look, this is all about the future of Luka Doncic, right? Like, mm-hmm. Cuban, the Mavericks, they need to get it together over the next couple of years to keep Luka from throwing up his hands and saying, I don't want to be here anymore. I mean, on just the other day, Luka said this season, understandably, was a very disappointing one. And Cuban took the brunt of it. I thought it was weird that Cuban, again, among the weird comments that he said, like, not only did he deny that the Mavericks had the opportunities that it was reported they had, but he blamed Rick Brunson for it, like, for kind of steering Jalen in the direction of the Knicks. Rick Brunson, of course, former NBA player who was an assistant coach in New York. But it really is Cuban's fault and the Mavericks' fault for allowing it to get that far. It never should have gotten to that point. They should have re-signed him before the season when they had a manageable number
right.
that they could offer him. They didn't, and that's
or
why.
Give him that money in the summer. Like, you know, like, come in with a huge offer. It's not like the Knicks completely maxed him out. Like, they had many opportunities.
Yeah, he's also reading texts from Nico Harrison, the Mavs GM, and Aaron Mintz, who's the agent of Rick Brunson, saying that Brunson expected to receive a contract of $18 to $23 million. Well, yeah, the Mavericks couldn't have given him that in February, but they could have made some moves that, you know, might have freed up the money to go and do it. So I don't really understand most of that. So
where do you see, like, I talked to Herring about this once, but like, how do they build around Luka? Because it sounds like, you know, Cuban said, we want to re-sign Kyrie. I think Tim McMahon asked him, are you going to give him the max? He said, I'm not going to negotiate with you in public, but we know what it's going to take to re-sign someone like Kyrie. What do you make of the situation? Like, should they get into bed with him? Like, what's...
They have no choice. They have no choice, and they're going to. I don't know how that manifests itself. Is it $272 million over 5 years? That's the max number they can offer. I doubt it gets that high. Mm-hmm. Would they go 3 year full max, 4 year full max? Look, whether they exercise it or not, they have leverage here because nobody else out there is going to make a run at Kyrie mm-hmm. Irving. The Lakers, I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to break up that team. There's a relatively easy pathway that does involve paying D'Angelo Russell a lot of money, but it's an easy pathway to keeping that team intact, and they should keep that team intact because it's a normal team. No one else out there is giving Kyrie Irving that kind of money. Mm-hmm. Phoenix ain't going to do it in some kind of move that gets off Chris Paul. And the other teams with cap space are rebuilding teams. Detroit's not going for him. San Antonio's not going for him. Charlotte's not going for him. So Orlando's not going for him. So, you know, these two sides need each other. And that's why if I was a betting man, I'd say that it comes to some kind of agreement between Kyrie and the Mavericks. I think a bigger question is Christian Wood, frankly, not to get too deep in the weeds. Christian Wood is expecting a big deal to materialize this summer. I don't know what he's talking about. Like, I don't know where
like you mentioned, the teams with cap space, like Detroit already had him.
I tweeted this. Yeah. Detroit had him. Houston had him. Charlotte had him. Orlando doesn't really want him. I get the sense Dallas doesn't really want him either. And if they do, it's going to be at their price.
I mean, you know, minutes have gone down. What a weird situation that's been.
He can score. He can score, but he's not a defensive player. And you can't have Luka, Kyrie, and Christian Wood out there and expect to beat anybody because all you're going to do is give up just as many points as you score. You know, I'm getting, and I tweeted this, I'm getting some very Dennis Schroeder vibes off the Christian Wood situation where Dennis Schroeder went into free agency a couple of years ago, expected to make big money and had nothing, settled for a one-year deal with Boston, and is still trying to kind of build back from that. So we'll see what happens with Christian Wood. But the problem is, Dallas is trying to build a conventional team with no assets. Like, you bring back Kyrie, great, but you're probably right back in the same situation you are right now, where you're looking around at your roster going, all right, you know, Maxi Kleber, good defensive player, not a rim protector, but good defensive player. JaVale McGee is, you know,
out of the rotation.
Not the answer. Dwight Powell's not the answer. You know, there's nobody backstopping those guys. And if you've got two guys that get beat on the perimeter as consistently as Luka and Kyrie do, you're in trouble. I think the Mavericks are in a lot of trouble. I do. I think they are in deep, deep trouble here. And maybe they can go one more year without Luka getting cranky, but if they're in the exact same position next year, they're going to have a tough offseason with Luka Doncic. They are.
And he's already, you know, admitted, like, he's upset, he's frustrated, maybe not outwardly toward the team at this point, but clearly it's wearing on him. And God, like, you just wonder, like, if someone like Dame comes available this summer, and I don't know, like, imagine if Dame had put the Mavericks on his wish list. Like, they traded their most appealing guys in a trade, too, in Dinwiddie and Finney Smith. Like, I never really liked that trade for so many reasons, because I didn't think it made them more dangerous in the playoffs. And now they're also just hamstrung. Like you mentioned, like, no assets. Like, I don't know who they could move in a trade. Like, maybe there's some kind of Kyrie sign and trade out there this summer. Maybe there's a Christian Wood sign and trade out there this summer.
No, but, like, not that gets you any better.
Yeah. They're going to have to get creative, because I don't know. First, they have to identify what even the right kind of players to put around Luka are. And then just going out and acquiring them is going to be incredibly difficult.
Yeah. I'm reading more of these Cuban quotes as we're talking. He was kind of, again, he said that the Brunson side never gave us a number in terms of contract. Said, quote, knowing the numbers now, I would have paid it in a heartbeat, but he wouldn't have come back anyway. There's just no possible way that it was about the money. Well, again, you're kind of redirecting blame here, where your decision and the Mavericks' decision not to pay him before the start of last season and at different points during the season cost them. That's what it boils down to with all this. So, I don't know. It's a little bit of rewriting history for Mark Cuban there. But either way, they're in a lot of trouble in Dallas. Last thing I want to talk about, we got a phenomenal non-update from the Pelicans regarding Zion Williamson. Going to continue to keep progressing with his rehab as the Pelicans enter the play-in tournament next week. Zion's not playing in this play-in tournament, and it sure doesn't sound like he is getting that close to a return. It's been another disappointing injury plague season for Zion. The leg injury was re-aggravated at some point during his rehab, it sounds like, or at least is going considerably slower than what anyone expected. This is yet another year of it, Rohan. Is there any response by the Pelicans to this? Because with Zion, they're pretty good. You go back to, like, December, they were sitting atop the Western Conference playoff standings for a minute. And there's no reason to believe that's a aberration, because around Zion, you've got Ingram, who's really good, CJ McCollum, is exactly who he's always been. Herb Jones can play.
Murphy,
do you just kind of have,
yep.
Murphy, do you just kind of have to cross your fingers going into next year and say, let's hope that Zion is, you know, overcomes this? Like, it's not unheard of for a young player to overcome major injuries in his first couple of seasons, the first few seasons. But now, what are we on? Like, year four with Zion, and we're still dealing with this?
And it's, what's weird is this year, it's not even like, this doesn't feel like a major injury, right? It's like, okay, the hamstring thing is obviously very frustrating, but it feels like something that shouldn't be keeping him out this long, quite this long. Obviously, we know he re-injured it, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense for him to be out as long as he has. At one point, do they have the conversation about, do we trade Zion Williamson? Because we know that they're great without him. They're great with him, yes. They were very, very good with him. When he actually plays, he is everything that they want him to be, at least offensively. Defense, still a work in progress. I think he has the athleticism to be good on that end of the floor, and can get better there. For what it's worth, the McCollum, Larry Nance, Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy lineup, 12.0 net rating, their second most used lineup this year. Last year, they played, you know, the entire year without him, were incredible in the second half of the season, really pushed Phoenix in that first round series. It sounds absurd because, no, you're not going to get equal return for him, but can you get enough? Or is there a player out there? I don't think you go after, like, a Damian Lillard. I don't know who the player is, but I think it's worth having the conversation if you're the Pelicans, because I don't know that you can trust him, and you have a team that, it might not be a contender, but with the right moves, I think can certainly go up a level or two in the West.
Yeah, no, I think they can be a contender. Zion was the number one pick in the draft in 2019. Mm-hmm. Like, you build around guys like that. And you look at what he showed he could be in his second season. Played 61 games that year, averaged 27 points, 7-plus rebounds, you know, shot poorly from three-point range, but, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Overall, shot 61% from the floor. Improved, actually, in the 29 games he played this year from three. Shot 37% mm-hmm. in those 29 games, averaged 26 points. So you had a pretty good sample size of that second year of just how good Zion Williamson can be. It's just got to find a way to keep him on the floor. And, you know, there's very few comps for him, right? Like, there's not a lot of guys that are like, I mean, what is he, 6'8", 6'9", you know, looking it up right here. He's, 6'6". He's listed, listed as 6'6", 284. He's probably 6'6", 300. You know, he's a big guy. Remarkably explosive, but a big guy. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a lot of comps for guys like that historically. And I just don't know what, you know, if there's anything the Pelicans, more that they can do to keep him on the floor. Because this is now the third time in 4 years that he will have played half the games of the season or less. Played 24 mm-hmm. games as a rookie. Did not play, of course, last season with the foot injury. And this year's played 29 games, and that's probably a wrap. So, you know, it's becoming a theme with this guy. Mm. And I don't know what the Pelicans, what more they can do in this situation.
Would you look into moving him?
No, because you're not going to get more than 50 cents on the dollar for a guy that's been hurt. I mean, look, Andy's under a new long-term contract, so you got to give it some time. But, you know, next year's going to be a big one. If it becomes 4 and 5 years that he can't stay on the floor and the Pelicans keep underachieving, and that's when you start to look at CJ McCollum getting a little bit older and maybe not being as effective as he used to be, that's when you got to be a little bit concerned. But now it's just about, like, finding new ways of treatment, finding new ways of, I don't know, stretching, whatever it is. I mean, what was that? Was it a hamstring or groin? I forget what it was that he got hurt.
Hamstring, yeah.
Hamstring. Like, you know, these are things that, you know, can be prevented, you know, with the right kind of treatment. I don't know, maybe that's the way you go. But this is becoming a big-time problem for the Pelicans.
I will say, I remember doing a story with Chris Paul in Oklahoma City, and that last year in Houston, he hurts his hamstring, or second to last year in Houston, he hurts his hamstring before game 6 of that Warriors-Rockets series, misses the last two games. And, you know, this was obviously, he was much later in his career, but he was like, I changed up my training entirely. Yeah. I realized everything that I was doing was, you know, leading to these hamstring injuries. And I know he's had a couple of injury issues in the last couple of playoffs, but it hasn't been kind of this soft tissue stuff. I mean, the Pelicans have to be looking into everything. They got to be looking into who is the foremost hamstring expert in the world? Are they in Sweden? Are they in India? Like, wherever they are, they got to figure it out. Like, you mentioned, like, his extension starts next season. Like, he's under contract for 5 more years. This is a serious long-term issue, which is why I even bring up the idea of trading him, because they have a team that's ready to win now. They have a fantastic coach. They have a lot of ingredients in place already. I'm with you. I mean, I think they would get an awful return for Zion, and the real worst-case scenario for them is watching him get healthy this summer. You move him and all the
That's
next,
what would happen.
Know, yes.
That's what would happen.
Yeah. But that's what happened. I just – they got to figure it out. This is – he's too young. You know, this should be the healthiest stage of his career. Like you mentioned, you guys like Embiid or, you know, have come back from it, but
different types of injuries too. Embiid had a foot injury that required surgery. These are soft tissue types of injuries that keep recurring. I mean, the foot, mm-hmm. it sounds like Zion's past his foot problems. Like, this is just a major hamstring injury. But he's got to find a way to stay on the floor. Simple.
Can you remember anyone who had like a hamstring thing like this that lingered?
No, Chris Paul is a good example because he did keep getting hurt year after year with, you know, those types of pulls and sprains and things like that, and he turned it around, you know, in Houston, in Oklahoma City, in Phoenix. So credit to that. So maybe they should give Chris Paul a call and see how he dealt with it. Maybe you can start dealing with Zion. Rohan, good stuff, man. Appreciate the time. We will do it again next week.
Sounds good, Chris.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.